From Bethesda Softworks comes a new expansion pack for the 2006 Game of the Year, Oblivion.
So, you want to join the Writers Guild, eh? Very well, your rank is Script Polisher. Now march around with a sign a while, will ya?
Thank you for coming. As you loot through my belongings, let me explain the quest I need performed.
If it involves writing, I can't get involved.
But you must! Please, write the script and I will pay you a pithy 100 gold, which you could also obtain simply by killing me. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Pleasure doing business with you.
It's an all-new adventure with all-new quests.
I need you to explore a cave, kill a bunch of random thugs, and return with a key or heirloom of some sort.
Your test results are in. As I feared, you have droops. Have you recently had unprotected sex with any zombies?
Of course not.
All-new loot to steal.
It's you, the hero of Cyrodiil. This is truly an honor.
Stop right there, criminal scum! Nobody picks up a spoon on my watch! Search him!
He's got a watermelon, sir! It looks like the one that was reported stolen last week!
You'll hang for this, hero!
And a story that will touch your heart.
Horse, what happened?
While you were in that fortress, a bunch of skeletons attacked me! I tried to fight them off! If only I had armor!
No!
We've received word that you did some writing while on strike.
Well, yeah, I wrote a check.
I was afraid of that. You are hereby kicked out of the guild, and unless you collect 500 different wildflowers, arranged alphabetically by color, you can't get back in. Oh, and you're a vampire now, too.
Thrilled to the suspense.
You need to launder that dirty stolen food. Turn it into potions, and no one will be the wiser.
You're more than welcome here, friend. What's that? Of course I'd like to purchase 300 potions of cure fatigue. Why wouldn't I?
Experience the action.
That's the 12th lockpick you've broken in a row.
We've got to have whatever might be in this chest.
Bingo!
Yes! Some folded cloth and a paintbrush.
Our ship has come in.
And weep to the humanity.
Have pity on a starving writer, Mr. Letterman.
Well met. Here's a dollar. Write me a top 10 list.
Thank you, kind sir.
Of the best downloadable content you'll find this year.
Attention, studios. You've made a good bit of gold by exploiting us. Now pay us the same as the Dark Brotherhood, or else we'll join it and come back to murder you.
That's not much of an incentive.
The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, Writers Guild Expansion Pack.
We can use this bus to fast travel to the nearest picket line.
Sorry, boys, exact change only.
But we don't have any.
Then pay with your blood!
Available as soon as the strike is over.
Hi, this is the BenHeck.com podcast. Notice how I did not say hello and welcome back.
Very well.
Yes. I am your host, Ben Heckendorn.
I am Jason Jones.
And we're here to rock. Down, bam. No. Hey, you know, I was thinking that suggestion you gave me about buying Guitar Hero 3 just to get the guitar.
Yes.
That's kind of tempting.
Yeah.
I get some achievement points out of Guitar Hero.
Yeah, they're pretty stingy on that one too. But then you'll get the ultimate axe.
What do you think, listeners? Have you tried modding your Rock Band guitar using my flawless instructions? Do you think that makes it better than the Guitar Hero controller? Sound off below. You know, actually, I should update those instructions because that was just for my guitar, and we found...
Then mine was different, and...
And then the replacement unit was different again that Darren had. So we found three different methods of Rock Band guitars strummer.
Yeah.
Because one had crappy leaf switches, that was mine. Yours had mechanical switches. And then the replacement unit actually had magnetic reed switches. Very similar, actually, to the Coleco Action driving controller.
And they all sucked.
I know, I mean, all it needs is, like, clicky-clicky, but...
Yeah.
But the game is awesome. I got that Oasis pack today.
Ah, yes. I'll have to check that out, I suppose.
Yeah, Dave was all happy about that because he was a big Oasis fan. I think he 100%ed one of the songs in his first try.
Nice.
Yep. Don't you mean nice?
I'll have that. I did that on one of the Queens of the Stone Age songs, the first playthrough. I think it was Little Sister or something.
Sweet. So anyway, Yeah, we only have two topics today, but we'll try to bullshit more than usual to fill it up. Our first topic is air travel.
Well, and, from right out of left field.
So I was sitting on a plane the other day or something, and I'm like, God, I hate air travel. And it's not like a Bruce Willis thing where I'm scared of it. I just think it's really boring and annoying and lame.
Yes.
And the security features of it are completely inconsistent, but always annoying.
Yes.
And then it turns out Jones had a flight the other day, too, which...
Yeah, it was ironic because Ben had emailed me saying, we should talk about air travel for the podcast. And I was checking email on my phone, and while I was sitting on an airplane waiting to take off from Albuquerque.
Right.
And I was like, wow, that's ironic. I guess it's timely, so...
Yeah, I guess I lucked out with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've both traveled in, like, the last week, so it's fresh.
Of course, I only actually flew in a plane once before 9/11.
I never did.
But, you know, it's really actually not that much different.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. And then our second topic is... What's our second topic? Oh, yeah. Video games we'd like to see sequels to. I think we talked about movies we'd like to see sequels to once, but I don't think we've talked about video games.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. And you know what I thought might be good for a third topic? If we talked about movies that were way... Or movie sequels that were way better than they had any right to be.
Okay, yeah. That would work.
I was thinking about that the other day. And I was watching the Terminator show they have on television now. And
you thought of Terminator 3.
Yes, and I'm like, wow, Terminator 3 was a much better cash-in than this. Right. Okay, so... oh, man, I didn't even write up an outline. I was too busy writing an intro.
And that's okay. People like it when we're spontaneous.
Do we usually do gaming news or games we've been playing first? Which is it?
I don't know. I thought we were going to play with the formula anyways, so we'll just... Wing it.
Back to formula.
I am the antidote.
Godspeed, Speedman. I think that was still the all-time best shitty movie night comment.
That was pretty good.
I'll tell the audience.
And Legally British is probably like number two or something.
Yeah, Dale's pretty good. He should watch more.
I had the Legally British.
Oh, that was like, you?
Yep, because we were watching Thunderbirds.
Yep, with Sophia Miles.
It was just horrible, but yeah. But yes, the... Godspeed Speedman was pretty classic.
In the XXX2 State of the Union. What was it, like Ice Cube or Ice-T or whatever?
Yeah,
one of those?
Becomes Vin Diesel.
Right, and at the end of the movie, there's like a train sequence, and of course it's completely ridiculous.
Oh, God.
And it was William Dafoe fighting Scott Speedman. And he was about to kick him off the train, and Dale says, Godspeed Speedman! And that was hilarious.
That was awesome. You probably had to be there, but it was a good time.
And in Thunderbirds, which I hope no one has seen.
Other than us.
Right. Sophia Miles is this British woman or something, and everything she has is pink.
Yeah.
And she dresses all in pink, and she's British in it. And Jones says she's legally British.
Yes. I can't remember how it came about, but I was just like, what the hell? Is she legally British or what?
Yeah, that's too bad. I was surprised at how many people were at Return of the King. Oh, that's right. We hadn't seen that when we did the last podcast.
Oh, In the Name of the King, you mean?
Oh, something about a king. God, yeah. It seems like the last podcast was an eon ago, but it was only 2 weeks ago.
Not an eon flux.
Anyway, yeah, so we went to see In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale, because it was the second ever in-theater shitty movie night. The first one was Aeon Flux.
Yes.
And
Stay Off the Grass, by the way.
Yeah, I know in Dungeon Siege bombed pretty well, but there's actually quite a few people in there. I was surprised.
Yeah, I was kind of saddened, actually, by how many people were in the theater.
It made it harder to mock.
Yes.
Like Burt Reynolds.
Oh, God. Yeah, anybody who sees that movie, you know, pay attention in his, he's got kind of a deathbed scene or something. And
that's almost as long as the one in Matrix 3.
Yes, and he's wearing, like, a black t-shirt underneath, like, his bandages and stuff, but you can see, like, the sleeve of a black t-shirt, yet this is supposed to be, like, in medieval times that this is going on. It's just hilarious.
And good old Ron Perlman was in there, too.
Oh, God. Yeah, you could tell he was, like, sleepwalking through that thing.
We must have hope. We are going to die here.
He said his dialogue about as wooden as he possibly could. It was just funny.
Yeah, I'd say...
It wasn't very good.
I liked House of the Dead and Blood Rain better for shitty, evil movies.
Yeah, Blood Rain's, like... up there in the upper tier, I think, of, like, the entertainingly shitty movies we've seen. It's no Dungeons and Dragons, of course, but it's up there.
We should do a podcast about that.
Yeah, that'd be a good topic
sometime.
Shitty
movie podcast. Recommend some bad movies.
Yes.
And what bad movies
and which
avoid,
ones to avoid,
like
yes.
The Avengers or
Son
Tank
of the Mask.
Girl. Oh!
Alone in the Dark.
Ugh.
That one's awful.
What was that other terrible one we watched? Well, we've watched a lot of them that were... Oh, Super Baby Genius.
Well, Blood Rain 2 was just god-awful.
It was lame. It was like a TNT movie or something.
Yeah. It's just like nothing happened.
That was another thing I had against Dungeon Siege. It wasn't rated R, so there's like no gratuitous violence or sex or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to have a shitty movie, you know...
Yeah, go all out.
Right, whereas, you know, Blood Rain and Alone in the Dark had both of those things in spades. Remember when that monk got cut in half in Blood Rain? I just, for some reason, I love that part. Because he had, like, this fake body with a bunch... It wasn't really bones when he was cut in half, just like a bunch of blob flesh. Okay, searching for Bobby Flesh Fisher. Okay, let's move on, I guess.
.org.
Well, how about games we've been playing? Because I have a midnight confession on that one.
Oh, that's right. You all out there get to hear Ben repent a little bit here. But...
Now, I will never repent on the Wii because it is a piece of shit.
Yeah, that would be like an entire podcast probably if that happened. So,
actually, I had a nightmare the other night that I bought a Wii. It was probably last week.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Did you wake up, like, sweating and screaming? And
yep, I'm like, no!
Oh, God.
But, yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, I haven't really played much of anything lately. Been kind of busy, so I played a little Rock Band over here the other day, I guess. That's about it, so.
Right.
But
well,
what's
I've played a little Rock Band as usual. Not a heck of a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, about a week ago. I was sitting around and I'm like, you know what? I bought this goddamn game. I'm going to play it. So I popped in Call of Duty 4 into my computer. Because I'd only played it online for probably maybe an hour when it first came out. And then I played the main game and then that was it. Because... I mean, last October, there was video games coming out left and right. I mean, you know, there wasn't enough time. So anyway, I started playing it, and you know what? It's actually a lot of fun. I have to admit, I'm not that... Well, actually, I'm okay, but I can usually get a positive KD ratio, as they call it. Not last night, though. I got my ass handed to me last night. But yeah, I had to admit, it's a pretty fun game. I noticed most people on my friends list on the Xbox... I think as many people are playing that now as they played Halo 3, a lot of people are playing that. And I play it on PC because it's obviously superior.
Right.
There's no comparison.
Just give it up.
Even though I had you bring me over Portal.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. He's got the orange box for his computer, but then he wants me to bring it over for the 360 so he can play through Portal again and get achievements.
That is right. I will get an achievement. For
Companion Cube.
No! You know, one of my favorite parts of that game was when you first do, like, the Portal leap through the air, and the computer woman goes, "Wee!"
Oh, God. You have euthanized your companion cube.
In record time. There will be cake. That's a pretty good game.
Yeah. That end level's just nuts for that.
Oh, where you have to fight GLaDOS?
Yeah. Like, the end level of that takes about as long as, like, the whole rest of the game.
Oh, you mean the escape?
Yeah, that whole thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Because everyone I played that, I was like, Jesus Christ, this just keeps going on and on.
I got stuck on the spot with the... So it's probably had to like get up into the air vent.
Yeah.
That stumped me.
So it's like you're in this big room with some pillars and you had to like...
Not that.
Drop down.
You know the first time you see that little turret in the middle of the room that shoots the rockets at you and like the windows break?
Yeah.
It was right after that. You had to like jump up into an air vent. And I realized what you're supposed to do is... I was like, you're supposed to like put a portal as such that the rocket shoots and breaks a piece of glass and then companion cube falls out.
Yeah.
But I didn't figure that out.
Oh, okay.
So I actually, like,
there are like multiple ways you can do
right,
that.
Right, I like stacked chairs up on the thing and jumped into the vent, but now I know better. Companion cube will be there. Yeah, anyway. Oh, yeah, that's right. We were talking about Call of Duty 4. So, yeah, I had to... Yeah, it's really fun online. I guess I just, you know, didn't try it out, but... yeah, it's fun. The key mapping I've had a few issues with. Like, I put the... there's a button you just, like, slash your knife.
Yeah.
Of course, if you can, like, you know, beat down someone, you have to do that. But I kept on hitting the talk commands where you can type out something. So now I have it mapped to my middle mouse button, so I should be pretty good, so...
You know, you don't have that problem on the consoles. Just thought I'd let you know.
You don't have a mouse either.
Don't have to map keys.
Yes, anyway. So, what about gaming news? I saw that GameTax was back, on, at least on joystick again, they mentioned it.
Except now
it's like the Sierra Club, some sort of environmentalist group.
What? They're getting involved?
Yeah, it's something like... I don't know.
Well, I did read more about the whole Wisconsin thing with that 1%, and it was like something about they'd use the money raised from that to like keep juveniles out of like prison or whatever. You know, like juvenile offenders that get put into the regular prison system or something.
You know, if kids are playing video games to keep them from being bored, wouldn't that also help keep them from committing crimes?
You'd think, but I was just like... Why? How is money from video games, how does that correlate to paying for that?
Well, I think I know how it correlates. What the video game industry had a record year last year. It was like $15.7 billion, wasn't it?
It could have been.
Right, let's see. 1% of that is $157 million.
Well, it's just like the...
That could get, you know, pretty... Well, actually, that would only be a little bit of pork barrel in today's world, but...
Well, and it's like, you know, the cigarette tax, the, you know, it's a similar stuff, you know, where it's like, okay, what are they doing with all that money? Because our budgets are always in deficit anyways, even though they're stroking all those people for a bunch more money now. But it's like, are they paying for any sort of, you know,
it's probably
prevention
for like state,
type things?
Like
and
badger
stuff.
Care and health care subsidies and crap.
You'd hope, but they're just probably using it to pay for education, like they do with our highway money.
Well, I mean, look at California. I mean, or I know a lot of states have this, but, you know, states are, you know, they talk about, like, how much Wisconsin is taxed and how we're up there, but I'm sure we don't have a budget deficit as bad as, like, these other states.
California is, like, bleeding to death. They got, like, a $10 or $12 billion budget deficit,
right,
I guess.
Right, then they have things where you have emission vehicle tests.
Yeah.
Which costs you $50 every year. You have to pay a percentage of your vehicle's value for your re-registration every year, not like a flat rate. It's just anything and everything to make money.
Yeah.
And, you know, people used to dump tea in harbors over that kind of crap a long time ago.
Well, it's like they just jumped up our vehicle registration in Wisconsin this year, 20 more bucks.
What is it now, then?
75.
Jesus Christ!
Because I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she had her... registration thing that had just come, and it was $75 now instead of $55.
That might be the end of Escort the Old.
Uh-oh.
It's like, should I re-register this or have enough money for a...
couple of tanks of gas.
or a case of beer. that's lame. I mean, it could be worse, but it's incrementalism.
Yeah. Yeah, to jump it up 20 bucks in 1 year, it's kind of like,
Well, the thing is, you know, when you have this rampant inflation... things that cost us money also cost governments money, you know? Like, gas costs more for the government and land, all this, so their costs go up as well as ours, but, whatever happened to taxation with representation?
I don't know, it went out the window a while ago, I think.
Yeah.
Along with a lot of other things.
Right. Maybe we should get off this subject now.
Along with civil liberties.
That's right.
Yes, so what was our topic? Oh, air travel.
Oh, yes, topic one. Is there any other gaming news that we can go over before we get on to topic one?
I don't think... Something probably happened, but I don't know what.
Yeah.
There was that stupid MacBook Air thing that came out.
I did that project with the MacBook that you know about, which isn't on my site yet.
Yes.
It will be one of these days. Anyway, I heard about the MacBook Air, and it's like you have to sacrifice all this stuff. You know, like, you only have one USB port. You have to hook
external
up a
DVD drive and all that.
But it's only 3/4 inch thick. And I was thinking, well, okay. But the MacBook Pro is an inch thick. So to gain or lose 1/4 inch, people are willing to give up all this stuff in their laptop.
Yeah.
I mean, and the price, I'm sure, is no better.
Yeah, and it's got, like, solid-state hard drive in it, I guess.
It's an option. Otherwise, it's a 4200 RPM iPod drive.
Yeah, so you pretty much want to get the solid-state drive.
Which is $1,000.
Yeah. But, I don't know. That stuff always cracks me up. You know, people are, like I was telling you, at work we have this where people want to get these small Dell laptops where it's like the 400 series, and it's the same sort of deal. The thing's nice and skinny, reasonably light, but... The DVD-ROM is external. I think it's got more than one USB port, though. But, you know, it's like... You still have to carry around the DVD-ROM drive with you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you're still hauling that weight around. It's something else you got to hook up or whatever whenever you get where you are.
Some of those Sony VAIOs are pretty small, yet they seem to have everything.
Yeah. I don't know, it just seemed kind of pointless. I looked at it and I was like, you know, why would you get this over a MacBook Pro if you wanted to buy a Mac?
Well, we should still be glad that all the American computer companies are the ones kicking all the ass.
Yes. At least there's something America can still be superior at.
That's right.
There isn't much anymore. Got to hang on to what we got.
Oh, what are we talking about? We're great at exporting money.
Yeah, that's true. And other things, but I won't talk about those.
Yes, well, I think everyone knows what that is. All right, so, what about Xbox Live, you know, not working for about a week, so now everyone gets a free copy of Undertow.
Yeah, it wasn't working for about 3 weeks, actually, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, that's tomorrow, I guess. People will be able to download that. And it's for, like, gold and silver members, I guess.
What?
Yeah. Which I thought was stupid.
Lame.
Like, I don't get why the silver members.
Wow,
get
that's
it,
some socialism for you right there. So what's it about anyway?
Undertow.
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking me?
You don't know.
I don't know. I don't. All I saw of it was like a clip of it on some arcade presentation a few months ago, where they just showed snippets of games, and it was like some underwater thing where everybody's like in scuba gear running around with harpoon guns and stuff. It looked like the end of the Bond movie Thunderball, for anybody that's seen that. I don't really know what it's all about, though.
Oh, speaking of Bond, did you hear about the GoldenEye for Xbox Live Arcade rumor?
Yeah, it's been rumored for a few weeks now, I know.
But the fact that it might not happen.
Oh, really?
Well, think about it. It's a license owned by Sony that was on a Nintendo console.
Yeah.
And it's having trouble getting onto the Microsoft Xbox. Is this a surprise to anyone?
But Microsoft owns Rare.
That's true, but...
They don't
actually
own the Bond
Activision
license,
has
though.
The, I believe, the Golden...
They've got the
Bond,
license now, yeah.
Well, you know what it probably is? Nintendo's probably like, we want that!
That is how they are. I saw some comment from that Reggie Putz, and he was like, oh, well, we'd really like to have it on our system.
Well, buy back Rare, then. Use some of your billions and billions of dollars of profit instead of just hoarding it.
Well, they have to hoard it for when their next system is a complete failure again, which it will be.
Oh, it's already happening.
And this system will end up being a failure in the end.
They
so.
Showed, we were talking about this earlier, the sales figures for like December.
Yeah.
The Xbox was not that far behind the Wii at all, even though it cost more.
Yeah, you said it was, what, 75,000 units or something behind?
I don't know, it was like 1.7 or 1.8 versus like 1.5 million.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it wasn't anything astronomical.
Yeah.
Yet there's plenty of Xboxes. But there was some, for some reason, there was a shortage on an 8-year-old game system. Sorry, people. I just do not buy it.
Nor do I.
Okay, anyway.
It's horse shit.
Yeah. So I just hope there's some Xbox games coming out this year. So, because you really haven't heard, there's really not much left.
Not much. There's like that two human game and stuff like that, but nothing like huge.
Well, games in general, I mean, you know, once everyone's favorite Smash Brothers or whatever, the same game that you've been playing for 10 years, don't tell anyone, comes out in March, what else is really coming out? I mean, there's nothing that, everything is on the Sony.
Everything's
basically
on the PS3 then, so, yeah. All the big ticket stuff. The new Rainbow Six game will come out, but that'll be on both 360 and PS3, and that sells pretty good.
Right, right.
That should be interesting. But yeah, all the kind of big stuff, like, you know, the 360 kind of blew its wad last year, so.
Well, I think 360's wad blowing was a fairly sustained affair.
Oh, yeah, it was like all year long, pretty much. So, it wasn't just like they had three games and then done, so.
Right. All right, well, I think we've padded our stats here enough that we can move on to our first topic. See, we can really talk a bunch of bullshit when we want to.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
No doubt.
Okay, so now we're going to complain about airline travel.
Yes.
Well, okay.
Do you want me to complain or what?
Well, I don't know. Let's just give this kind of a setup. I usually fly 2 or 3 times a year. It's not like I'm ace flight man, but I do fly with some regularity. Because I eat my fiber.
And I've only flown twice in my life, and it's been in, like, just the last little over 2 years, the two flights I've gone on. So.
Yeah, when was it you went to San Jose?
Yeah, that was in late 05, and then this other trip just this past weekend. So
you went to California!
That's right.
Were you actually in Silicon Valley when you went to that?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What was it like? Was it magical?
Not really.
Oh.
It was interesting, though, because, like, it was kind of funny, you know, being an IT guy and all that. I'm, like, driving to where my company's office was out there that I was working at for that week, and all these businesses I drive past, I'm like, hey, I know who that is. I know who that is, because it was, like, Seagate's office was there, like, AdaptTech.
Cool.
Cisco had this ridiculously huge, like, business park there with all these huge signs out in front of the buildings that are like their logo, and just you could tell that money just like oozes out of that part of the world, you know. And God, I think like Avaya was out there too. They make phone systems and stuff, and it was just kind of interesting because, you know, usually I drive around like in Madison and go past all these businesses, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell any of these places do. We're out there, every place I went past, I'm like, oh, I know what that place does, I know what that place does. And so that was kind of interesting.
You know what I find funny about Los Angeles is, let's say you're driving around Madison or something, and you'll see billboards, and they'll be for a cell phone, or for a furniture store.
Yeah, or a car. Or
something. A car. Yeah. Every billboard in Los Angeles is for a movie. It's ridiculous. I mean, I guess it makes sense, but, I mean, for crying out loud, there's probably other things people care about out there. I mean, not every, but probably about 9 out of 10. It's
yeah,
and not only that, but when I was out there last week, every billboard was it was either Cloverfield, The Eye with Jessica Alba, the Terminator show, and there's a lot of Rambo shit up.
Nice.
Yeah, they had Rambo down one whole building in Sunset Boulevard. He's like, ugh! And I couldn't help but think, I'm like, I wonder if the movie will make enough to even pay for that.
It will.
Actually, that's probably true, because I was in Los Angeles last May, and one of the three movies advertised on every billboard was that Captivity movie.
Oh, the one with, like, Alicia Cuthbert or whatever?
Yeah.
Her torture porn movie that she made.
And it made, like, $3, yeah. So that one they probably didn't even pay for their advertising budget. But I guess that has nothing to do with travel itself.
No.
Hey, when I was in Denver, they had one of those Aunt Annie pretzel things like they have in the mall here.
Yeah.
I bought one. It was pretty good.
Nice.
Now I want one of those.
Yeah, Denver's airport's pretty big.
When I went to, so?
Well, like when I went to San Jose, maybe it's just because I had to go from one end of it to the other in a very short time, but when I went to San Jose, I had to go from Madison to Denver and then Denver to San Jose, and
That's funny that, like, we went on similar trips without even knowing it. Well, you probably knew I was going out there, but
yeah, but when I got into the terminal, like, where I could deboard my flight in, was about 5 minutes before I was supposed to start boarding my other flight.
Oh, damn.
And it's, like, down at gate, you know, A whatever, and I'm down at, like, freaking H something or whatever, and I, like, ran through the goddamn airport, and it was, like, 15 minutes for me to probably get where I was going, and it was just, I was, like, hauling ass. I was like, Jesus, this thing's big. It's nothing like Dallas, though.
I know this is going to sound dumb, but I think I'd rather have that than have to, like, wait 2 hours between flights at an airport.
Yeah. I like it when it's more like an hour. You know, like when you get in and you got, like, an hour till your next flight, because then you can kind of wander down there, and right about the time you get kind of chilled out, then it's time to hop on the plane and all that. And it allows for if your plane's a little late or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Dallas's airport is freaking huge. It's like got this whole SkyTrain thing that you ride around it to get to your gates.
It's kind of shaped
stuff.
Like a big oval, right?
Yeah.
Over a big NASCAR track kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we should probably start complaining about air travel,
yes.
Not just bemusing on it.
Awesome.
Okay, well, all right, so I was in... well, it seems like there's always new stupid rules, but they're completely inconsistent in between every airport.
Yep.
Now, listen up, TSA. We're going to, like, you know, tell you what we found with our own market research, which you didn't even have to pay us for. Okay, for instance, you know, you used to be able to take liquids on the plane or beers, which I've done on several occasions. But now you can't. Even if you buy them in the airport, you have to... you can't drink them. You can carry them on the plane, but you can't drink them. It's so stupid. Why not?
It's so they can charge you $5 on the plane because they don't have any money.
Ugh. You know, you got to wonder how much gas is used up by all these planes flying around. And it's super high grade, too, so it's expensive.
Yeah, God, they said something on the radio the other day, like last week, about air travel and stuff and the airlines, and it was something... Because it was like just that week Northwest or United or somebody had announced that they were raising their fares like X amount of dollars, and it was because of the increased cost in jet fuel and everything, and it was something like, God, 30 or 40% of their costs is just in their fuel.
Right, and then I'm saying the nation's or the world's you know, petroleum consumption, I wonder what percentage of that is air travel. I'm sure it's significant.
Well, look at how many planes are flying around. You know, like when I was coming out of Minneapolis, coming home the other night, and it was like we got down to, you know, we taxied out, and then like three planes landed while we were waiting there, and then we finally got to go out there. While we were going out there, a couple more planes had come up behind us, queuing up and all that. It's just like the amount of planes, you know, that's just one airport.
Right.
You know, it's like, damn.
You know, if an invention that would actually really change the world would be some sort of, like, matter transporter.
Yeah.
You know, if you could just, like, transport across the country and, or not, you wouldn't necessarily need to transport to work or whatever, but if you could ship things by being able to beam them, or, you know, if I'm eating a sandwich and I have some leftovers, I can beam them to a country that needs the food. I know that sounds ridiculous, but why not?
Yeah.
'Cause we just throw our food away. That something like that would change the world.
Oh, yeah.
They'll do it someday. Well, anyway, yes, we need to complain about airports. All right, so it used to be you could have your laptop in your laptop bag and put it through the scanner.
Yeah.
Then it was you have to take the laptop out of the bag and put it on top of the bag and put it through the scanner. Now it's you have to take the laptop out of the bag and put it in a different tray. So send the bag through in one tray and send the laptop in the next tray. So the average person has like 9 trays that are going through. It's like, why don't they just, like, freaking disassemble a person at the atomic level and stream the atoms through and scan each one? So then I was in Madison, and the lady was, like, looking at my dial caliper, which is always in my laptop bag. And she's like, hey, look at this or whatever. And the guy had to go over there and look at it, and they're scanning it twice. And I'm like, if they try to take that from me, I am going to throw a shit fit and a half, because that is actually my favorite possession, is that dial. There it is, right there. The dial caliper. I love my dial caliper. Oh, wait, no, that's my metric one. I don't love that one. Okay, so that happened, right?
So your dial caliper is like your companion cube?
Yes, but I won't incinerate it. Seriously, I love that thing. And all this happened. You used to be able to, like, walk through with your shoes,
yeah,
you know, as long as you didn't set off the metal detector. But then, of course, you know, now you might have a shoe bomb in your shoes.
Yeah.
Obviously. But the thing that's so stupid, then when I got back home on Friday, I was, like, you know, dumping everything out of my pockets and stuff. And I had had a cigarette lighter in my jacket the entire time.
Yeah.
No one said anything about it. I mean...
Yeah, it's... Well, that was the thing I noticed the very first time I flew when I went out to San Jose, is, like, how inconsistent things were. Because, like, when I flew out to San Jose coming out of Madison, they made me, you know, take the laptop out of the bag, put it in its own tray, take my shoes off, all that shit. When I came back from San Jose, didn't have to take my shoes off. Still had to do the thing with the laptop. But I was just like, what the hell? You know, it's like, this is the same country... You know, all of these airports are under the jurisdiction of the TSA. Everything else, like, wouldn't you think they'd all have the same rule book to work from? You know, it just seems kind of odd to me. And then, like, on this flight, when I went out to Albuquerque from Madison again, I took, like, a jacket with me, and I was wearing a fleece, and I put, you know, I threw the laptop in its own tray and all this shit, you know, and... I'm getting ready to go through, and they're like, oh, that fleece is pretty bulky, you better take that off and send it through. So I'm like, okay, fine. So I had to take my fleece off, so I just had, like, my, you know, undershirt on or whatever, and throw that through the scanner. And then I went through the metal detector and whatever. Then when I'm coming back, they don't make me take it off. I go through the metal detector, everything's fine. Then I have a dude pat me down. I can only assume he patted me down because I was wearing the fleece and it was bulky. I don't know. But I'm like, why is it different everywhere you go how they do this stuff?
See, I've never had that happen. I've never been patted down or wanded yet.
Yeah. But then, like, the both places made me take my shoes off this time, though, at least. So, but I tried to have my... When I was in Albuquerque coming back, I took the tray, I put the laptop in it, and then I was like, well, I'll put my liquid bag in there, I'll throw my jacket on there, I'll throw my shoes on there.
Well, yeah,
I send it through, they come back around with it, and they're like, oh, the laptop needs to be in a separate tray, and then we'll send it through again. And I'm like, what the fuck does it matter?
That you liquids know? Thing reminds me, too. okay. When was it? October, I think, I don't know... One of the times I flew in October, I had, I flew twice in October. The first time I had all my liquids in a, like, a tied-up Target bag, you know, mm-hmm. like a bag you get at Target, like a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Madison, scanned it, it was fine. The next time, same airport, same carry-on, same deal. No, you can't have your liquids in a tied-up Target
bag. It's gotta be in a quart bag.
Right, so I had to throw it away, but 2 weeks before that, I went through the same airport. Okay, so then in Madison... I got my fucking quart bag at Target with my little, you know, portioned out
your little 3 ounce bottles.
Right. And I put it through, and they're like, no, you got to have the liquids in a bag outside of your carry-on when we scan it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, whatever. Didn't happen the last few times I was there. Coming back to Los Angeles, no. I forgot, left them in my bag. They didn't say anything. It's so inconsistent.
Yeah.
And you gotta wonder if it's just like a rock, paper, scissors. You know, like, they don't have time to, like, piss off everybody, so they just randomly piss off people.
Yeah.
Or like, when I, it was when I went to New York, I had, I got to the hotel, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got a drink. That's what I always think. Anyway, so, I got to the hotel, and I just gone to Target to buy, like, you know, some things, and, I opened up my bag, and... I had accidentally left a bag of shaving razors in my carry-on. I mean, I wouldn't have left those in there on purpose.
Yeah.
I just was throwing things in there as packing, and they got thrown in.
Yeah.
They didn't say a thing about it at the airport. I saw them like, oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And normally I just have an electric razor when I travel. So you just got to wonder what's up.
Yeah, I think all this shit's just like a bunch of, you know, they just jerk us all off, and it's just like a placebo effect where they, you know, make it look like they're doing stuff, so it makes people feel safe. So they, you know, get on the airplane, and they think everything's all hunky-dory, and they're not really doing shit. You know, they just kind of go through this exercise, and, You know, they just make everybody feel safe by thinking that, you know, they're actually checking for crap. This is such a bunch of bullshit. And the thing that interested me is, like, the first time I flew, I'd always kind of had this fear of air travel. So I had a hard time flying, like, the first time I went. And then this time, like, the night before I left, I probably got 2 hours of sleep. And I was just, like, stressing about just stupid shit. And I got to the airport, had to go through all the security bullshit and all that stuff. But then once I was finally on the plane, I was, like, relaxed and, like, happy. And I actually enjoyed the actual, like, flying part of it. It's just like all the other bullshit that just annoys the piss out of me. Flying part's kind of cool. Because it's like, you know, you can hop on a plane in Madison at, like, 6:30 and, like, at, you know, a little, like, quarter after 11, you're in Albuquerque or, you know, wherever, you know, and within 5 hours, you know, you've gone, you know, way across the country.
So, by and large, everything about flying sucks except for the flying.
Yes. That would be my final say on it, I guess. And I try to carry on. Like, I've never checked anything yet because I've gone on short enough trips that I can just carry my shit on because I just don't even want to deal with that horse shit unless I absolutely have to.
Well, good point. Well, everything's so expensive in the airports. I mean, they know they've got you by the balls.
Like, yeah, you're like, a captive audience, so.
Yeah, you go into McDonald's and a value meal's like $6. It's like, give me a break. And that's like the cheapest place you can eat in the airport, so of course everyone's flocks to it.
Yeah.
Well, I hate how, you know, nowadays, like, every bar in the airport, every hotel, everything, the beers are like a ton of money everywhere you go. Like, I think when I was in New York, I think beers were, oh god, it was either $6.50 or $7 a piece at the airport or at the hotel. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I don't know. It's almost getting to the point where if you're not, like, traveling on business, it's kind of an expensive proposition.
Yeah. Yeah, I know my trip wasn't cheap. So.
Right.
Although I've been thinking it's, like, later this year, I think I just need to take a trip somewhere and go to, like, Hawaii or go somewhere cool. I want to go on one of those really big goddamn planes. I haven't been on, like, a huge plane yet, so.
I actually like them less because they're usually more cramped with people.
Yeah, I suppose because they cram as many people on as they could. Although all my flights this past weekend were pretty much full. I know the one thing that happened to me on my San Jose trip that was annoying is I think it was when I got back into O'Hare, and then I just had my little, you know, up-down flight to get back to Madison or whatever. They changed, I think I had like a 2.5 hour layover, and they changed my freaking gate probably like 3 times for my flight while I was sitting there. So it's like, you know, you get all kicked back, you're like reading a book or something, and it's like, oh, blah, 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 this flight is now at gate, you know, A32, and it's like, ah, god damn it.
Then that's a big freaking airport.
Yeah, it is. That thing's freaking huge.
Well, at least the thing about it, you know, if it's still the same airline, the gates, you know, it's not going to be like on the other side of the freaking
close.
World. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just kind of a nuisance.
Right. When did you go through Vegas?
That was when we, god, that would have been 4.5 years ago, probably. That was when we drove out to Arizona.
Oh.
And we, like, cruised through Las Vegas because we were heading to the, god, yeah, because we were going to hit the Hoover Dam the next morning, so we went through, or actually, no, it was, yeah, that was in the morning we drove through Vegas because we were on our way to the Hoover Dam. And so we just cruised through, so I didn't even get to see it at night or anything like that, which kind of sucked, but.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly during the day.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, all just like
gray and
yeah, and it's just kind of like everything looks, you know, kind of lame.
Yeah, I was telling Dale we should go to Vegas for his bachelor party. I mean, I know it won't happen, but
yeah, that'd be cool.
I haven't been there, god, since 2003, but I like it. It's awesome, and you know what? It's cheap as hell.
Well, that's because they want you to go into the casinos and throw your money away.
I know, but you know what? I mean, so if that's what it takes.
So if you don't gamble, it's a great time, I'm sure.
Well, I think if you went there and gambled, it would still be so cheap as such that you'd still probably be ahead of a normal vacation.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I haven't been there in a while, but I would That was my impression even back then.
Yeah, I've heard that it's, you know, one of the more, you know, reasonable places to go for a vacation or whatever, cost-wise.
So contact your travel agent or call 1-800-VEGAS-NOW.
And tell them the Ben Hack Podcast sent you.
Yeah, we'll meet you there for some deep-fried Twinkies. All right, well, I think we've complained about air travel enough, so let's move on to our second topic. Wow, we've managed to suck up a lot of time here. Look at that, 45 minutes.
Yes, very well.
We're going to talk about video games that we'd like to see sequels to.
Yes.
Because we don't think we've talked about that before. We probably have, but
maybe
whatever.
In passing, but tough shit. We're going to talk about it again.
All right, let's go.
We'll probably say
the same
damn games again.
Let's take turns. You go first.
God. Well, obviously, I'd like to see a BioShock sequel or prequel, whichever. But it'd just be nice to go back to Rapture again and explore it some more in new ways. Because I have a feeling you haven't seen all of it yet in that game, so.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they do, because it was fairly successful.
Yes. I could see a prequel. It'd be kind of neat to have a game, you know, when everything kind of was going to shit,
mm-hmm.
like kind of, you know, when things were okay, and then
so
you had the
like
power
the Star
struggle.
Wars prequels, except for hopefully it's good.
Yeah, I like the prequels, so suck it.
I will concede they improved as they went along. I will do what you say, master.
But then you could have the whole political struggle stuff between like Andrew Ryan and Atlas.
You mean Fontaine?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'd buy it. Okay, I've got one. Dead Rising 2. Dead Rising-er.
Deader Rising.
Like, it took a while for me to get into that game, because I remember you borrowed it to me, but once I got into it, I really liked it. That's probably one of my more favorite Xbox 360 games that I've played still.
It's pretty cool. I remember it was funny, too, when I loaned it to you, and you didn't really get into it at first, because probably a month or two before it came out, you had sent me some link to a video on it, and you're like, this looks cool, you should get it when it comes out, or whatever. And then when you finally got your 360 and I loaned it to you, you didn't do much with it at first.
But then I got into it, I'm like, yeah. God damn it, I gotta beat this whole game! So, yes, I'd like to see a sequel to that.
I suppose I wouldn't mind another Capcom game, I wouldn't mind seeing another Lost Planet. That was a pretty fun time. I played it a great deal online and everything.
Lost Planet 2, the moon!
But that one was, I don't know, it was strangely addictive, and it was kind of different, you know, with some of the gameplay concepts it had, and it was pretty fun.
What about this Bionic Commando game that they're making? I mean, that's basically like Lost Planet, except for you have an arm.
Yeah, without snow. Yeah, it's pretty much the same deal. It looks like you might be able to shoot your arm out while you jump and stuff, which would be nice.
Well, you can't jump in Bionic Commando, remember? You only have an arm.
Oh, so you can just grapple. But like when you're in midair, I suppose
I wouldn't be surprised if they put a jump. The original Nintendo one, you couldn't jump. You could just swing. But yeah, they'll probably make you jump in this. But yeah.
Yeah, so I wouldn't mind seeing that. And that was a relatively successful game, so there's a chance they might make a sequel.
I've heard Capcom's been kind of wishy-washy, because even though these games sell well here, that nobody in Japan cares about them, because even if they're Japanese games, they're in the Xbox, which I think is a little lame.
Well, who gives a shit? They can keep playing their goddamn Final Fantasy, and we'll play everything else. Our money talks, too.
Well, yeah, but they're Japanese companies.
Well, tough shit.
Of course, American companies like Hollywood Studios, they don't care if a movie makes more overseas. They usually do. All they care about is if it makes money.
Yeah.
Like that Golden Compass, I guess, it's been actually doing pretty well overseas.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, they're going to be all pissy about it, and, you know, well, it didn't make money here, so...
Yeah, I saw that the other day. I think, like, worldwide, that's made, like, $350 million now or something. And it's only made, like, 60 or 70 in the U.S., but it's been cleaning up pretty good overseas.
Right. Well, a lot of these games don't even get released in all territories for quite a while.
Yeah. They kind of get drawn out or whatever.
Maybe that saves some time in the localization. I mean, like Rock Band, I don't think that's out in Europe for a few months yet.
Yeah.
Because they probably have to change everything to whatever language.
Yeah, I suppose that's got to be kind of a tricky beast.
Yeah.
Over there, because, you know, every country's got a different language, pretty much, so it's kind of a challenge, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's like, okay, he doesn't look a thing like Jesus. What is that in German? I notice all the songs in the game, they either involve Jesus or guns or murder. You ever notice it seems to kind of keep popping up?
Yeah. Like good old Gimme Shelter.
Yeah! Rape! Murder!
It's just a kiss away.
Rock Band's awesome.
Do you have any other sequel thoughts?
Video game sequels I'd like to see?
Yes.
Oh, I'd love to see Oblivion 2, Elder Scrolls 5.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll probably buy their Fallout game, which actually that's one coming out
this
year. Fallout
that's
3.
That's a pretty big one.
But, you know, I like guns more than swords. Still, I'd rather play Oblivion 5. Because Oblivion is awesome.
Yeah.
You'd be like, return to the world with the same 5 voice actors. Thank you, kind sir.
Well met.
Okay, so you got another one?
Oh, God, there should probably be something. Why am I drawing a blank?
Oh, you like that test drive game, don't you?
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool if they'd, like, you know, it's like the idea with that game was that they took, like, an entire island of from Hawaii and mapped it, the whole thing, and mapped all
the
roads.
Speed bumps.
Yep. And,
you just go down there and find out. You don't believe me. You won't believe it, but you'll know.
Yeah,
when you'll go down there and be like, my God, boom, boom, Ben was right. Boom, boom.
Yeah,
I should have taken the money. Sorry.
But yeah, that would be cool, because, you know, they could just, you know, make... They can make one like where it's based on the UK or something like that, you know, and map the UK and cruise around on it.
Of course, that was made by Atari. They probably
they're not doing so hot these days. So it's sad, dude, because that game was friggin' awesome. That's like one of the better driving games I've ever played because it was just cool. You could just go out cruising around, and it was like a massive multiplayer thing, so other people could be driving around and meet them on the road, you could flash your headlights at them and challenge them to a race and stuff. And
actually, was that made by Atari or just published by them, I wonder?
I think they actually developed it and everything.
Hmm.
But, yeah, that'd be a good one to see a sequel to.
Well, maybe someone will buy the rights or something.
Yeah. I know that one, it was, like, relatively successful, and it was cool because they brought it out for $40, too.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Instead
of the $60, so...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know if I have any more sequels that I would want. Oh, Portal 2. That would be awesome.
I would agree with your Oblivion Elder Scrolls 5 one, of course. That would be awesome.
It'll happen.
Yeah. That would be a good time.
They'll probably do it after Fallout 3. Okay, well, shall we burn up our remaining time talking about movie sequels that were far better than they had any right to be?
Sure.
I know two. There's like two I can think of, maybe three.
Yeah. Well, Terminator 3 is definitely
Terminator 3.
One of them. God, I remember that because that summer we'd see like the trailers for it and it just looked lame. Like, mm-hmm. You know, where Arnold comes up and he's like, John Connor,
get this time.
And then, what is it? Something. What is it? Is irrelevant. I am a machine.
Oh yeah, desire is irrelevant.
There it is. Yeah, and it's just like, oh my God, this is gonna be a train wreck. You know, we thought.
No JC.
Yep. And then we go in and see it, and it was like, holy shit, this is friggin' awesome.
Yep, but it was only 90 minutes long or something.
Yeah. And even James Cameron himself said that he thought it was pretty good.
It was good.
Yeah.
It did what it had to do, and it said, well, that's it. Bye.
Yeah. I just loved the way that it ended, because it didn't... You know, it had kind of the downer ending, basically, and everything,
right.
You know, and it... You know, it was like... Everything that happened before just kind of put off the inevitable and all that, which
yeah,
I thought was really cool.
Yeah, there's not many Hollywood movies that end with a nuclear war destroying Earth.
Yeah.
But,
so that
yeah,
was
that was a... It was a damn
cool.
good movie, and, you know, they had the gimmick where they had a woman Terminator.
Yeah.
You know, before she moved on to all the Uwe Boll movies.
To Blood Rain.
But, you know, it made sense. You know, it was cool that she was like a robot with liquid around her. So you kind of had to, you could kind of do both things with it, you know, because it's, But, yeah, I was all ready to hate it, but of course I went and saw it anyway.
Yeah. Well, it had that awesome chase sequence in it, too. That was just freaking badass, where they had that big, like, construction vehicle with, like, the crane thing on it. They were just, like, destroying buildings and everything.
Oh, and I remember when he dumped it in the manhole and it flipped?
Yeah.
That was, like, an awesome effect. That was, like, the train wreck from Fugitive kind of awesome. I got another one that, it's not as good as Terminator 3, but it's way better than it had any right to be. Scorpion King.
Yeah, it had just the right amount of cheese on it. It's entertaining.
With pepperoni.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have Grant Heslov, who was really funny in it, and it had The Rock, who's always fun to watch. And I mean, it was derivative as hell, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Catch this!
Yeah, that was so awesome. I remember when I saw that, and I was like, oh my god, it's so cheesy, but it's, like, great. You know, it was like the sort of thing Arnold would have done back in, you know, the early to mid-80s, basically. It was like that type of movie.
Well, that was Chuck Russell. I mean,
yeah, he also... He did Eraser.
Eraser, which is another movie that...
ass.
And a lot of people don't like it, but, God, it was action-packed. It was awesome.
I think that's one of Arnold's best movies.
There's a plane flying toward Arnold. What does he do? He pulls out his gun and shoots at it. That's what I would do. Yeah, the thing, everyone rips on that movie because it had those fake alligator effects. That's the only thing they concentrate on. They don't realize the rest of the movie kicks ass.
Yeah. And it had that,
you've just been erased.
But then he gets to have that great line where he says, your luggage.
Yeah!
After he shoots him. So it's like, what the hell's
God,
the problem?
I want to watch that movie now.
It's like, I'll take the cheesy effects if it gives me a great Arnold
that
line.
That movie had everything a great movie should have. It had guns, Arnold, James Cromwell, helicopters.
That's
that movie rocked.
And rail guns.
You hear when he comes out at the end with those two rail guns? Yeah. It's like, run! He shoots that car and it flies over him. Oh, Arnold. Arnold, just quit being the governor. You're not going to be president because you're born in Austria. Get back into movies.
That's right. Get back in there. Oh, God.
Let's see what other... X-Men 3 was a lot better than it probably had any right to be.
Yeah, that's a good pick, too. Because,
like, the websites and the geeks were all like, oh, this is going to suck. But it was pretty good.
Yeah, because it had Brett Ratner directing it, so everybody figured the worst was coming, but he did a good job with it.
I kind of wish Brett Ratner was directing, you know how they're going to make a post-apocalyptic
Terminator
trilogy?
Yeah, with Mick G directing.
Yeah,
that's
well,
probably,
God, they got Christian Bale.
Yeah, which he's pretty awesome, so maybe he knows something we don't.
I'm curious to see that because, you know, they could do, like, the whole human struggle and it could end. It should end... with Michael Biehn or whatever, going back in time for the first movie. That would be the perfect
way to
cap it off.
End it, yep.
I've been watching the show on Fox with the Terminator thing. That one's... I'll probably keep watching it, because why not? It's in HD.
Yeah.
But it's... But I did notice that Summer Glau chick, you know, from Serenity.
Yeah.
When she's in profile, she has the same lip and chin structure as Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think that's probably why they picked her. Well, that, and, you know, she can obviously play a catatonic ass kicker,
yes,
as we saw in Serenity, but...
Yeah, she proved that already.
Yeah. It's all right, I guess. Any other movie sequels or even just movies that were far better than they had any right to be?
Oh, God. There's got to be something that would come to mind. My brain is mush these days, but yeah, it's... God damn. I don't know why I can't think of anything, but I know that there's plenty of them.
I would say Matrix, considering Johnny Mnemonic. I hadn't seen Johnny Mnemonic when I saw Matrix, but if I would have, I would have probably appreciated Matrix more.
Yeah. God, I'm trying to think of shit that I saw that kind of surprised me. Like, Terminator 3 is the big one I can think of from in the theater that surprised
that
me.
That was awesome. That's like one of those times I wish I could go back in time and see that in the theater for the first time again.
Yeah.
We should just have an Arnold Schwarzenegger episode.
That'd be good. We could easily talk about him for an hour. Wouldn't be difficult at all.
Sluts. All right, well, we should probably wrap this
maybe,
up
then. Maybe if we're lucky, Indy 4 will make it on this list next year, but I doubt it.
God, I saw some new pictures of that. He just looks so old.
Like, Live Free or Die Hard, the unrated cut.
Yeah, I'd almost say that would count.
That could almost count, because that was kind of like the Terminator 3 thing. We're going in, you know, I just figured this is just not going to be cool at all. And
except for some really stupid things, like Kevin Smith's motorized webcam.
Yeah.
Remember that, where it moves? And that doesn't make any sense at all. There's some stupid stuff like that, but by and large, it was pretty solid. I think it was probably actually even more solid than the third movie. There,
oh,
I said it.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I did.
You can't cut down the third movie.
Oh, you, Mr. Alien, is better than Aliens. No, what, no, you said Alien 4 was better than Aliens. So I can say that about Die Hard.
But it's true that Alien 4 is better than Aliens.
I think we'd better end this podcast now so I can strangle Jones. Next week, we'll have a new podcast co-host. I don't know who it will be, but I guarantee they will not like Alien 4 better than Aliens. So this is the Ben Heck Podcast signing off.
Adios.
Thank you, kind sir.